This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us on Fed Access. Today, we're going to be talking about a project that we have been talking about for quite some time. It is the BRAC, and it is still going on. We're going to get some BRAC updates today, as we have been doing regularly on Fed Access, to keep you informed of what's going on. As you know, the BRAC is a base realignment and closure, and has a major impact on the D.C. area, especially Arlington, Virginia, other areas in Maryland, Fort Meade, and other areas all around. Some areas have had some positive impact, and other areas have had some negative impacts. And we've had a regular guest on our show, Dr. Andrea Morris. She's the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, Virginia.
Yes.
And she's here in studio to give us some updates about what's going on. It seems like there's some new developments. We're going to get to that. Dr. Morris, talk to us and let's get a status report on what's going on with BRAC. The completion is supposed to be, 2012, or right? Is that the completion day, or
is the deadline is actually next month?
Okay.
It's September the 15th.
All right.
And we are less than a month away.
Wow. Well, status report. What's happening right now? I mean, where are we? A number of agencies are supposed to be moving. A number of agencies are supposed to, move to, different various places,
mm-hmm.
Huntsville and other things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we with these agency moves?
For Arlington specifically, the activities that are relocating to jurisdictions outside of this region, such as San Antonio and Huntsville, Alabama, Fort Knox, and Indianapolis, those moves are completed. And we have taken just a glimmer of what's been going on in those areas around Kentucky, around Huntsville, Alabama, around San Antonio. There are some additional challenges to that population, unfortunately, with some of the decisions that DOD has made regarding efficiency standards and reduction of personnel due to budget cuts. We found out that several hundred of those that relocated to those locations have lost their jobs.
So hold on. Let's kind of get this straight.
Yes.
We've had the people who were impacted by BRAC.
Yes.
They were told to go down to San Antonio or whatever location that
yes.
they were sent to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get down to that location.
Mm-hmm.
And then these people are told that they no longer have a job. Is that what I'm hearing?
You did hear me correctly.
Wow.
And it is not something that I am very comfortable even talking about, because it's heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking. But unfortunately, that has happened. Hundreds in each location, specifically at Fort Sam Houston and at Fort Knox. Hundreds, 501, 600 in another, I believe. Significant numbers.
And this is all because of kind of what we've been talking about, the kind of the budget crisis of the federal government,
yes.
DOD making a lot of transitions and everything else. These agencies are saying we no longer have the money, or we no longer have the need for this capacity of workforce.
That's what they're being told.
Wow.
That's what the workers being told. Of course, it's a very hard pill to swallow, because
Now let me even ask this. I know it's
yes.
a hard pill, but are these people being booted out of their jobs right away? I mean, is this boom, you're down there, you've been given notice, or is there a 6-month time period of you getting a new job? Are they doing it just like the BRAC, where they are providing assistance to help people make these moves?
Have not heard of assistance being provided
wow.
at all.
That just seems like such a disservice.
Absolutely. We are heartbroken about it, and because we worked with many of them and we became close to them, learning their stories, working hard to assist them in the transition, getting some of them set up on the receiving end, communities and various network schools, things like that. And to learn that this is happening to them is really, it's more than challenging. It's very hard. It's very hard. But that's one aspect of it. So those that are going to, again, the locations that are outside of the region are completed. Now, for those that are staying within the region, such as Fort Meade and Quantico, Andrews, Belvoir, Mark Center, many of those have not completed yet. Those that have completed for the region are the Guard, the National Guard Bureau. They have relocated about 1,200 to the expanded building off of George Mason Drive and Arlington Boulevard in Arlington. That is completed. It seems to be working. We're paying close attention. We actually have an upcoming community meeting with them in September. Also, Andrews is receiving a lot of the Air Force activity from the Guard, the Air Force Guard as well. Andrews expects to be done with all of their relocations in this month, so we have another week or so for Andrews to complete, but certainly by the deadline. Fort Belvoir has begun receiving some of the activities.
Have we seen any negative impacts on those? I mean, are things seem to be okay right now?
Right now, things seem to be okay. I'll tell you that the Guard in particular has worked very, very hard to implement their shuttle program. And I know we're going to talk about the transportation aspects of it coming up. But I applaud their effort. They've been working on this since 2007, really, to discuss. We've been working with them discussing the impacts and how do we mitigate those? What do we need to do in order to get the current population that was at the Guard site that was not used to using public transit and the mindset of using public transit, because the population coming from Crystal City, of course, is used to public transit. So we had to marry these two populations, these two environments, and they worked very hard to do so. So for right now, things seem to be going smoothly. There are always going to be glitches and challenges we're paying attention to or modifying as we need to, and the Guard is very much on top of it. So we're happy to report that. The Andrews commuting pattern is a little different. Andrews has had to work very hard to get the support of the installation management to accept this idea of buses or shuttles coming on base. Hmm. Of course, I mean, they have the president comes in and out of Andrews. So, I mean, the population that they serve.
The security environment's a little bit different.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. So working within those constraints, the installation commander has now given the okay. And so a shuttle system is now in place.
Shuttle system is going from where to where? I mean, are these people who used to work in Arlington or Crystal City, mm-hmm. are they able to take the train and then take a shuttle to Andrews from that location? Or where is this happening?
From Andrews, there are some dedicated buses that they're working on. Andrews is working on this now, coming from actually the 95 corridor, Fredericksburg, that area, coming up the 95 corridor, going directly to Andrews, given the home zip code data.
But and also, this is already in effect?
It actually began September the 12th.
Okay, so upcoming in September, it's going to begin.
Yes, okay. Yes. So they're working to finalize.
Now, are they picking people up off of metro stops, off the 95 corridor? Or, I mean, how is that working?
From a designated place, it could be a park and ride or near a park and ride that they're working to do that.
But they're not picking them up from any kind of like VRE or any kind of metro stops?
No.
Okay. Is there a reason not? I mean, because there's a lot of people who are taking VRE and metro.
That's true. Not from the 95 corridor, but around the MARC trains and things like that, yes. There are coordination shuttle buses that are going into Andrews. What they've found, given the data that they collected, again, on home zip codes, is the location of those that are coming in, that's stripped along 95. There are pickup areas, Omni ride buses, things like that. They pick up from certain areas along the 95 corridor. And I don't know that those locations have been specifically delineated, but an announcement was presented to the population that it will begin in September. I may have some of that with me. But that's going to be happening, and Andrews is very excited to be able to offer that as well.
Okay.
So some of those moves have already occurred. Those that are going to Quantico.
And let me just even ask this.
Yes.
Would this be a model that possibly may work in terms of, you know, is this kind of a whole new model that's being put in place that people are watching very, very closely that may be duplicated in other areas if this works? Because you are taking a lot of people off of public transportation lines, off the VRE, off the metro, and now asking them to go into places where there are no, rail lines or anything else. Mm-hmm. Is this kind of a new model in place to kind of see, is this going to work and we may duplicate this for any other place?
That is such a good question. I'll answer it this way. It certainly is a new model for DOD.
Okay.
DOD, and I feel comfortable saying this because I believe that they would as well, historically they have been concerned with on base, inside the gate.
Right.
That is a responsibility. And now the recognition is gaining momentum that there's a connectivity between what happens on base and how people access the base. And so because of that, I think the mindset and the thinking is more along the lines of we need to coordinate with the community where we're located. We need to understand what their master plans are. How is land being used? How are places accessed? Can we share, if you will, some of the transit options and activities? So yeah, this is it's a completely different way of thinking. It's a paradigm shift completely for them. And whether it can be used as a model for others, certainly it can. And all eyes are on it. Absolutely all eyes are on it. It has gained the attention of the governor, of course, and continued to be for the federal leadership.
Now, who's funding the transportation? Is it DOD who's funding this transportation? Or is this a partnership between the state of Virginia or counties? Or who is this?
It's a combination. The DOD shuttle specifically is DOD.
Okay.
DOD actually has supplied some monies to Alexandria to refurbish some dash buses that are providing services from King and a few other places. There's one other place, King to Mark Center, and then to the Pentagon as well. DOD is also paying a private company to shuttle persons from West Falls Church and Springfield, Franconia. And so DOD is making a large investment. Now the Commonwealth itself has put in a lot of money for infrastructure development. And they're continuing to do so. Around Fort Belvoir, monies have been allocated to match what has been received federally. Those are the combinations. Now, the local communities have increased their support. For example, Arlington has increased and added a bus service for the Guard specifically, and is covering the cost. And the ART bus is being examined as a tool for shuttling or supporting the activity at the Mark Center through Shirlington. Fairfax Connector has increased in its services as well, and those are local dollars being used. So it's a combination.
It's a combination of federal and local dollars,
yes,
kind of coming together to support and make sure that we don't have an influx of cars, mm-hmm, and then to slow down traffic anymore, but possibly have a lot more public transportation options to these centers.
That's the goal. And there's a long-term goal of building the ramp off 395 into Mark Center. And that certainly is a long-term goal. And the state actually has put the funds in for that, and an environmental assessment is being completed as we speak. It's not expected to be completed until next year, so of course that means the ramp will not be in place for that much longer, 7 years or so possibly. So in the interim, of course, there has to be transit options, and everyone has to be involved in that.
We're talking about BRAC. We're getting a BRAC update, a status report on what's going on with BRAC. The deadline for BRAC completion is supposed to happen in September, but there is going to be some extensions because some things are not complete yet. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is a BRAC coordinator at Arlington, Virginia. She has been our regular guest and giving us BRAC updates throughout this whole kind of time period. We'll be right back on Fed Access. We'll be getting a little bit more. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The U.S. Coast Guard is becoming the first military service to adopt iPhones and Android smartphones for its workforce. Coast Guard officials say their current generation of wireless handheld devices was becoming obsolete, so they needed to move on to new technology. The devices will run software that creates a secure encrypted sandbox for government email and other data. And down the road, the Coast Guard is also planning to develop its own mobile applications to help its members respond to incidents.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's a shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You can't build a house without a strong foundation. And you can't build a truly efficient data center without storage efficiency. If you're in federal IT, you know the importance of operating as efficiently as possible. NetApp storage is flexible, easy to manage, and requires far less hardware, often only half as much. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency, built on NetApp. And delivered by NetApp partners like WWT. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest and partner, John Frieden, where we'll talk about the law of blogging. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service firm serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Attention federal agencies. Want to upgrade your old, inefficient printer? Buy select HP printers and save up to $700 instantly when you trade in your old laser or inkjet printer. Best of all, the shipping and recycling of your old printer are free as part of the HP Trade-In and Save program. Take advantage of this offer from GovConnection, the federal marketplace's trusted source for technology products, contract expertise, and exceptional service. For complete details, call GovConnection today at 1-800-800-0019.
Join Alan Greenspan, the former chair of the Federal Reserve System, as he discusses the intersection of economics and IT at the Innovation Nation Forum, August 23rd at the DC Convention Center. Also there, the Merit Awards will recognize the best idea to use IT to improve government with a $50,000 cash prize. Shake IT up. Register at meritalk.com. That's MERITALK.com.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been getting a BRAC update, getting a status report on what's happening with the base realignment and closure that's had a major impact on this area, really for the past several years. We're coming to the conclusion, the conclusion of the BRAC, but it seems to still be an ongoing process that's going to go into 2012 as well. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator for Arlington, Virginia. And she's here to give us an update on what's happening. Dr. Morris, we were talking about National Guard completions. Mm-hmm. National Guard's completed. Andrews Air Force Base, for the most part, completed. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, you know, these are more smaller numbers.
Yes,
These are not major agency moves, mm-hmm. so to say. What else is on the completion list? And what's left to be completed?
The big question is what's left.
Okay.
When we begin talking about what is left, Quantico has the intelligence activities relocating there, and the building is completed, and they are in the process of completing their relocation.
And so all the investigative bodies, mm-hmm. Naval Criminal Investigative mm-hmm. Service, NCIS, Office of Special Investigations, Air Force OSI,
yes.
those agencies, their building is complete now?
It is.
Okay.
It is complete, and they are, I would say, probably 70% done okay. as far as the relocation. And it's, again, seems to be working smoothly. Quantico is very interesting because they did not deliberately put forward transit options and things for the population. And the question I've heard is why. I don't know why. But what is happening in the region is the coordinators, when we get together monthly and we bring in transit personnel and the BRAC coordinators for the installations, we talk about transit options and we bring these types of organizations to the table so that the workforce can learn about them. So what's happening at Quantico in particular are carpools and vanpools are being set up. Commuter Connections is a very useful tool, and Commuter Connections has been to two of the BRAC career fairs that we've held and have signed persons up on the spot and have come out to agencies. Specifically, they came out to the Defense Security Service, which is relocating to Quantico, and did an in-session with their population. So that's how Quantico is being serviced. There are still the buses that are
And Commuter utilized. Connections, in terms of their services, about what they're going to be providing, they're going to be providing kind of a transit service from certain locations to Quantico?
Commuter Connections actually is an organization that registers individuals for the car and van pools.
Okay. So slugging
is a little different.
Okay.
But slugging does have a registration site, which is very interesting. And
But
slugging is not part of the Commuter Connections specifically. You can get information from it. But Commuter Connections, again, has a website. It's through a Metropolitan Washington Council of Government, COG.
Is that CommuterConnections.org or what is that?
It is, CommuterConnections.org. And persons can go online and register right there. And what it does is it allows you to, you put in your zip code, if you will. You see how many people coming from your zip code to your destination. And you generate the interest in where you want to be picked up from and those kinds of things. So, yes, that's going on for Quantico. And, of course, the big ones that are remaining, Fort Meade. Fort Meade is essentially done. DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency.
Now, let me even back up before we go to Fort Meade. Is Commuter Connections only for the Virginia area, or that's for all of the whole DMV, the whole D.C., Maryland, Virginia area?
It is.
Okay.
Yes, yes. They're very much active in all of it.
And you can get a ride from your location to Fort Meade, or you can get a ride from your location to basically...
If there's a car that's going, going that way, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. And part of the Commuter Connections is the guaranteed ride home aspect of it, which is a concern for many people. And of course, as it should be, about four times a year, you're guaranteed a ride home.
Okay.
And if it's if you have a late meeting or for a sick child or sick, something
and
happens.
And the guaranteed ride home is from who?
From the, that's a good question. Let me not speak out of turn on that because I'm not positive how that works.
Okay.
If someone from the organization set something up for you on behalf of, or that's a good question. I apologize.
Or they pick you up on a horse or something like that, but you will get a ride home.
You will get a ride home
from somebody.
I remember one aspect of it is they will get you in a different vehicle.
Okay.
That maybe one that's leaving later.
Okay.
If you have a late meeting, unexpected.
So there is an opportunity for those people who do have a little bit of a flexible schedule.
Yes.
Or if a meeting runs late, then somebody will be there to pick you up at least a few times a year.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
You have to go on Commuter Connections probably to find that out.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. So in that Quantico is still kind of in progress. The building's done.
Yes.
But
they're about 70% done with the relocation, so they'll be done by the deadline, and they may even be a little further along than that. But yes, they'll be done by the deadline, certainly. And the big ones, again, excuse me, I was speaking of Fort Meade. DISA is done. Speaking of things that are done, DISA has already relocated, had their ribbon cutting in April, so it was a grand event. And DISA was the agency that led the way on telework options in particular. They've been cited by the Telework Exchange, which is a national organization that works on telework, and OPM is touted Telework Exchange as well. This has been cited by them as being a lead agency related to telework. So as an option for their workforce, because DISA did not want to lose that very talented and skilled workforce, understandably, they made this a significant part of their telework or their flexible work schedule, if you will, their flex work options. They also have buses that come from the 95 corridor and go over to Fort Meade. There's a shuttle system that is shared between NSA and Fort Meade that's in place, and it comes from various stations in Maryland, Odenton, and things like that, and goes to the location as well. So that system is in place, but they recognize the need to expand it as well, and we continue to be in conversations with them. Now, for Virginia, and the big ones that are remaining, the elephants in the room, of course, Mark Center and Fort Belvoir.
Okay.
The North Post specifically.
I know that the governor recently made an announcement of a task force because Mark Center is still kind of, like you said, the elephant in the room that seems to be tramping over everybody.
Yes.
And it's not the invisible elephant in the room.
It's
very
not.
Much seen by everybody. What's going on? Because everybody's concerned about the traffic and everybody's concerned about a large volume of people who are off of public transportation, the large volume coming into that neighborhood and really causing the backup congestion into that area. The governor announced this task force. What's the task force? What is the situation with Mark Center?
Mm-hmm.
And also, what's this task force supposed to be doing?
Mark Center, which is the Washington Headquarters Services activities, there are about nine directorates that are part of this relocation into the Mark Center, has announced its relocation schedule. There are about 6,400 personnel moving into that new facility. There are two office buildings, if you will, and two parking garages, as well as their inspection facility, remote inspection facility, and a transit center. And all of those buildings are in place. actually, they're now open. The keys were given over to WHS on the 8th of August, and personnel began moving in on the 9th of August. They are moving in about 50 to 60 per day, and the timeline is now 2,300 or so by the deadline of September the 15th, an additional 2,600 by December 2011, and the remaining 1,500 by August of 2012. Now, they announced in a briefing that I was in last week that actually related to the governor's task force that part of the reasoning for the staggered relocation is to support the traffic, is a type of mitigation so as to not have everyone bombarding this place all at once. And so that's what's going on as far as the relocation. What they've also done is put into place a pretty robust shuttle service, DOD bus and shuttle service. This is including a new bus. It's called the 7M that WMATA has put in place on DOD funded through someone else.
And in these new bus services, will they be doing kind of the same model of picking people up off of, VRE lines or metro lines or anything like that?
These buses specifically will come, they pick up in neighborhoods. It's like a regular bus service. For example,
But I guess my question is, how is that resolving some of the issue? Because a lot of these people are coming off of, these people are not living in neighborhoods. They're living they would take the VRE and Metro up to this area,
right,
up to Crystal City.
They'll still have to do that.
And work. Okay.
Some of them will still have to do that. Take the VRE and or one of the buses up to key places, King Street, Pentagon, West Falls Church, Franconia, Springfield, specifically.
So let me make sure I got this right. You'll still get a VRE in Metro. Then you'll have to take your bus, initial bus, to get over to King Street or some other place. And then you'll still have to take another bus to get to the Mark Center? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay. It just seems, I'm not trying to put you on the spot,
no,
but I'm just saying that there seems to be a lot of hoops for workers who have been moved from another place. Why can't it just be to have a bus waiting at the VRE or the Metro and then have them take them directly to the Mark Center?
Well, part of the shuttles that are coming between Mark Center and DOD are that,
okay,
are direct. They're express. Some of them are express. And they will pick up from those places that you, well, King Street. And there's a VRE station at King Street, for example. And or King Street, West Falls Church, Franconia, Springfield, and the Pentagon. That's where they're going to be bouncing between.
Okay.
And that's in place. That's already occurring. We actually.
And will these bus services run all day and night? I mean, in order to make sure that even for that late person, will there be still, if you have late meetings, will you still have? Of course, VRE shuts off at a certain period of time,
right,
so you have to make sure you catch that train.
Right.
But will it run into the evening to make sure that people are allowed?
I think 7:30 is the latest time that I've seen on a schedule. 5:30 a.m. to 7:30
p.m.
Peak time. There are rush hour activities as well. Some of the shuttles or buses run specifically during the rush hour. There are some that do run midday, but they have more stops in them.
Okay.
But there still is a shuttle that is dedicated between the Mark Center and the Pentagon. And no one else can get on that one in particular. Now, the Dash bus.
Only government, only DOD employees can get on that.
Can get on that one, yes. The Dash buses that run all through Alexandria, but those that also run between the Mark Center and the Pentagon, DOD personnel, Mark Center personnel specifically, can get on that and not have to pay anything. They just show their badge, their ID.
Let me hold you right there.
Okay.
And what we'll do, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to keep on talking about this governor's task force. What's happening at the Mark Center? What kind of solutions are being put in place in order to help government workers or these DOD workers get there if they're still operating off of public transportation? And then we'll start talking about what's next. What's happening with BRAC next and everything else that's going on. We're getting a BRAC update. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator at Arlington, Virginia, for Arlington County, Virginia, and we'll be right back after this break on Fed Access on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Dr. Ron Ross, Senior Computer Scientist and Information Security Researcher, NIST, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by Red Hat.
That's where the real vision for the future kicks in. We've got to be able to have the systems and the infrastructure churn at a rate that even though the systems have been penetrated, the adversary's time on target is so limited that they can't do any damage.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Are you concerned about security with federal mandates to move to the cloud? Hi, this is Paul Smith from Red Hat, the most trusted open source company in the world. We work hand in hand with the open source community, making their innovations ready for government, from operating systems to middleware, from common criteria to FIPS 140-2, from the STIG to ICD 503. You'll get the assurance you need for your mission from Red Hat. Check us out on redhat.com/government. That's redhat.com/government.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Cloud computing. Your data and apps must move easily and securely to reach many clouds, not just one. That's why the network that connects, protects, and lets your data move fearlessly through the clouds means more than ever. See how. Cloud Advantage for Government. The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com. Brought to you by Cisco and Intel.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
More than 45,000 men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces have been wounded in action overseas. They need our help as they return to the homes they so bravely protected. Please join the GTSI Charity 5K Run Walk in Herndon, Virginia on October 15th, benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project, providing much-needed direct programs for injured and returning veterans. For race information or to register online, visit GTSICharity5K.com or visit them on Facebook at GTSI Charity 5K.
The valuable information you get on the radio waves transmitted by Federal News Radio may one day provide an added benefit, power for some of your electrical devices. We're bathed in communication signals from radio, TV, and cell phones. Josh Smith, an Intel engineer, says we can tap those airwaves for energy.
The lowest power devices nowadays consume such a small amount of energy that you can actually power them off these signals that used to seem like they only had information.
Engineers are tuning antennas to pull in stray radio waves that are then converted into electricity.
It's starting to become possible to get rid of batteries from the lowest end devices.
Smith has already demonstrated it works to power a kitchen thermometer and has other applications like clocks and mobile phones in mind. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the BRAC, and then we've been getting the regular updates on the BRAC every couple months to find out what's going on. Again, this is another time to find out any new developments that's happening with the BRAC transition in the area. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She's a BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, Virginia, and she's here in studio breaking these things down. Some seem complicated. It's a mixed bag of solutions that's going on. Dr. Morris, we were talking about, even off air, we were talking about these solutions that you just mentioned about transportation, mm-hmm. about these bus lines, this, that, and the other. They didn't come from the governor's task force.
No.
The governor's task force is being put in place to do what?
The governor announced a task force on the 8th of August, and it is specifically to give attention to the Mark Center.
Okay.
His concern.
And who's a part of this task force?
VDOT.
Okay. Virginia Department of Transportation.
Yeah, Virginia Department of Transportation, the Department of Rail and Public Transit, DRPT, Alexandria Transportation, Arlington Transit, Fairfax County Transit, and local governments.
Okay.
I'm participating on it. A lot of the coordinators in the region are participating on it as well.
Okay.
And it's an effort to, first of all, see if there are any additional short-term remedies that can be put in place. And that's one of the immediate responsibilities.
So beyond what we've just talked about in terms of these bus lines, M7 bus and
everything.
Anything else?
Is there anything else that's been missing? And then on the mid to long-term, it is to develop an integrated corridor plan, transit plan, if you will, the 95 corridor, connecting everything that happens related to transit and moving of people from 95, you know, Fredericksburg area all the way up to D.C.
Okay.
And that includes and incorporates, again, all of the various jurisdictions that are traversed.
So this task force is not just for Mark Center alone. This task force has a longer kind of vision to kind of look at the whole transportation, especially in the Virginia area, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of congestion off of 66, 99, I mean, 95, and other areas like that. Is that what the case is?
It's first and a more direct responsibility is to the Mark Center. It is for the Mark Center. It will have advantages for the entire region, absolutely. But the focus is alleviating and mitigating as much of the expected and impending vehicular traffic around the Mark Center. And because of the addition of that traffic, it will impact persons coming from Richmond, persons coming from, connecting from 94, 95, from all over the area, 66 to the connection to 395 or to 110. All of those areas can be impacted. And so it's taking a regional approach to the transit and transportation question with Mark Center as the bullseye, if you will. So there's a integrated transit plan. There's also looking at the actual transit options, again, the ART bus, the Fairfax Connector, the DASH, DRPT, all of those kinds of things. What can we do to make sure that the staff can access the building, but then once they reach the gate, are they getting in? Bicyclists as well, you know, are bicyclists being provided the tools necessary to get on site?
Okay.
They have showers and all those things already.
Sure.
So that's being looked at. There's a communications team need to make sure.
Is that going to almost be like, you know, you have the bicycle program that's going around everywhere, like putting those kind of the portable bicycles, or people mm-hmm. who already have bicycles, you know, try to find a way to get them on
right.
site.
It's the latter. It's more of the latter. And those who are avid bikers, for example, at the Guard, we had avid bikers who raised the question to the Guards itself as they were building the new building, are you going to put in bike racks for
sure.
us? We want to make sure this is a mode of transit, and we need to make sure it continues. And that's the same issue for the Mark Center. There's also a construction team that's looking at the actual construction of the ramp, in addition to other things, the hot lane issue as well. They're focusing on, while the construction is going on, how do we need to integrate with the transit and the corridor team to make sure we are, again, not adding to the congestion. But the construction needs to be done, and monitoring that and making sure that happens.
So the task force will be looking at things, making recommendations to the governor, and then hopefully working together to put in place any kind of solutions that
yes.
come from the task force.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
And if that task force has already met and you guys are already mm-hmm. working on some solutions?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there have been a number of meetings already. There was one this morning at 10 o'clock. So, yes, there are leads over each one of the groups, and the leads are generating the conducting various meetings, and then work products are coming from it.
Are you more hopeful now as you're seeing, you know, certain transportation solutions being put in place? Are you, because I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of things happen in terms of kind of pushing back the Mark Center,
mm-hmm.
and we've even had some delays on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pushback has been, what, till next year?
A delay August of 2012.
Of August of 2012 to push people into a Mark Center.
Yes.
Are you more hopeful with some of these solutions being put in place that the congestion will be, it won't have such a negative impact on this area now? Or, I mean, what are you feeling?
I'll tell you that the stretching out, if you will, of the relocation for the personnel going into the Mark Center is a great benefit. It is. And I'm hopeful because of the synergies that are being developed. There are deliberate efforts around mitigating and remedying and preventing as much as possible this Armageddon, Carmageddon, as people are calling it, which is so funny to me. That's what the hope is from, because there are people at the table who can make the decisions, who can say, that won't work because of A, B, C, D, F, and G on this end.
Okay.
Kind of a thing.
I guess I'm confused, and we'll maybe talk about this on the next segment because we got to take a break. But I'm confused. Why did it take so long to bring all these people to the table? Because it seems to be very much so done at the tail end of this project rather than at the beginning of this project. Or is it just too much like right?
Yes.
Okay. We need to take a quick break. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator at Arlington County, Virginia. She is giving us a BRAC update on what's going on with the BRAC in the district in Virginia, in Maryland. We'll be talking a lot more about it on the next segment of the next session, of the next the next moment after we come back from commercial break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
MEADS, the Medium Extended Air Defense System, is covering new ground in air and missile defense. 8 times more ground to be exact, which means it will protect more troops on the ground and keep more dollars in the budget. MEADS has the advanced capabilities and reliability that the 40-year-old Patriot system cannot provide. And it will cost half as much to man and maintain versus upgrading Patriot, which is already costing U.S. taxpayers billions of dollars. MEADS 360-degree coverage defends 8 times more area using fewer assets and has the lethality to defeat advanced threats by being more mobile and agile. Defending more, costing less. Only MEADS covers it all. For more information about the MEADS program, go to MEADS-AMD.com. That's MEADS-AMD.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
Radical cleric Muqtada al-Sadr wants the U.S. out of Iraq. He restated that demand again yesterday. But General David Petraeus said on the Pentagon Channel,
"We've got to work with our Iraqi partners there to ensure that we can continue to provide for them various assistance capabilities and so forth that have proven to be very important for them, even as we do obviously continue to reduce our forces."
Al-Sadr says he wants anything that's American out. I'm J.J. Green.
We have a capsized boat, 2 people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border
Protection. Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Retirement is expensive. You may need 70 to 90% of your pre-retirement income just to maintain your current standard of living. So how do you protect the money you've already saved from market fluctuations? How do you make sure you won't run out of money? Hi, I'm Mark Tabron. We'll tackle these questions and more every Saturday morning at 10:30. Learn how to protect and grow your money with me, Mark Tabron, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Can't wait till Saturday? Then call me today at 301-773-3923.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Sometimes I worry about what would happen to my family if I lost my job. But I never really thought about what would happen to them if they lost me and I didn't have life insurance. My cousin's husband died, and now she might have to sell her house just to make ends meet. I don't ever want to put my wife through that. So I called Matrix Direct.
Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. If you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-588-5514.
I feel so much better now that I called.
It only takes 5 minutes to see how you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-588-5514. 1-800-588-5514.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been getting a BRAC update, finding out what's going on with BRAC. The BRAC is supposed to end in September, and we're trying to find out what's going on. It seems like there's going to be some extensions until August, maybe some extensions until December of 2012 with the BRAC. So what's happening with that? We've been talking about all of these things with Dr. Andrea Morris. She's the BRAC coordinator of Arlington County, Virginia. And Dr. Morris, we've talked about the traffic impact. Mm-hmm. Mark Center, there's some solutions being worked on. There's been a delay of kind of putting all these people in place until mm-hmm. next year. Mm-hmm. So what it sounds like, there's still going to be people who are still going to be in place in Crystal City for a little bit of period of time.
That's correct.
I know that there was a serious concern about a business impact mm-hmm. on that area with the number of people mm-hmm. moving. I mean, what have you seen? Have you seen a decrease in foot traffic? I mean, you're right. Your office is right in that area right. where you're seeing a lot of the businesses and everything else. Have you seen a mm-hmm. decrease in foot traffic? Decrease in the profits. Are businesses coming to you and saying, listen, we're losing money because we don't have enough people coming by? What's happening?
Good question. Not a significant loss of foot traffic currently. There have been maybe 1,600 personnel that have moved out of Crystal City so far, and there are 13,000 that are impacted. So it's not a significant number yet at all. But yes, businesses are coming and asking the questions. As a matter of fact, I had one approach me earlier this week to say, I'm getting ready to do projections for the next year. I need to know what is going on. I need to know what I should base my projections on.
With all of that, are you, in terms of numbers, I mean, mm-hmm. will the 17,000 people who leave, I mean, are we looking at, because you said only so many have moved, so mm-hmm. we're looking at, really, what 10,000 or so who are still in place,
mm-hmm.
right?
In Arlington as a whole, yes,
okay.
as Arlington.
And are we not going to lose those people as was first projected, or it's a slowdown in terms of losing those people? I mean, what's happening?
Yeah, it's more of a slowdown. They are leaving.
Okay.
There's been no change in the law. So the law is, and so they are still going to leave. The timeline has changed again because of the decision with the Mark Center to elongate the relocating of that personnel through August of 2012. That will be, for what we know right now, the tail end of it. And it's good for the retail sector. It's good for the hotel sector because it won't be as such this shock, if you will, of all at once. And also, it's a challenge to the commercial sector as well. So it's two sides of a coin, if you will, because the Crystal City Redevelopment Plan has in place opportunities to deconstruct buildings and erect new buildings, to put in open spaces, change roads all around, all those kinds of things, but it's predicated on buildings being available to do that. And so while we are certainly encouraged that the dollar amounts to the retailers are going to continue, that they won't be in a dearth and very concerned about continuing in their business, and we have time to work with them more to look at their business plans and to really sit down and say, this is the expected outcome during this time period. And that's a good thing, and we're glad for that. And again, on the flip side, it is with the owners and developers of the buildings. What can we begin to
sure.
do?
With that, are we seeing, the spaces that are being left mm-hmm. Vacant? Mm-hmm. Are we starting to see other companies, private sector, or are we starting to see other agencies starting to get some interest in this space and say, mm-hmm. listen, as people have moved out, this is a prime space,
right,
premium
right.
space that we
right.
can jump onto.
Certainly we have, and that's been from the beginning.
Okay.
I would get phone calls weekly.
But have they started to make a move, though?
Yes,
okay.
yes. The spaces are not, quote-unquote, empty. One of the things that GSA does is it will make sure it has space available for an agency and activity to move into. So what you'll find if you were to look at a database that we manage is that the leases for all of these spaces have been extended, some through 2018, okay, some through 2015, 14. As a matter of fact, there are only two leases for spaces that have BRAC activities in them that expire this year.
Okay.
All the rest of them expire after the deadline.
And these were extended?
These leases were extended.
Okay.
Now, that does not mean that the activity, the BRAC activity, is staying in it. That
right.
does not mean that. It just means that GSA has
may
the
have
space.
Some plans
yes.
for this.
Yes.
Do we know what agencies may be moving in,
no.
or is that kind of still a
no.
secret?
Yes.
Okay.
We try.
But,
we
right,
try.
Sure.
But not
I mean,
all
the hope of it is that since GSA is extending these leases,
mm-hmm.
they still see this as because a lot
right.
of these spaces
right.
are still modified or they were still constructed for government use.
They were, and they're old.
Okay.
And there's a need for some rehabbing.
Some updating.
And that's not a secret. If you look,
sure.
you come down to Crystal City, you know, that's just the way that it is. And the concern for the security standards is the other issue. Now, DOD is evaluating their security standards and
but if it's a non-DOD agency, they may have
right.
different kind of concerns.
Yes.
So they may be able to occupy that space easily.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing for us. Again, being in an urban community, DOD security standards are very stringent. And not many no urban community really can satisfy all of them. Not easily. Let me qualify it by saying that because the DARPA building, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is actually having a new building erected in Ballston, and it will meet all of the security standards.
Okay.
But it's not easy to do, and it actually takes up a lot of land, valuable land that we could earn.
Because they have to have space in order to make sure make sure a truck bomb or something
right.
like that doesn't damage the building or
right.
something like that.
So that's not conducive to an urban community.
But with all of that, are you and your team or people in Arlington and other places, are you guys going out actively kind of, you know, recruiting and saying, listen, your agency is not DOD, you know, you're mm-hmm. Health and Human Services, or you're this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
We've got space. I mean, are you guys, you know, doing that?
Certainly, absolutely. And that's always been the case.
Okay.
We have a group called the Business Investment Group, and that's their job, you know, as part of economic development for Arlington County, is to find companies to move into the county. And as part of that function, yes, we do actively. When we hear someone looking for some space, certainly we get on the phone and try to get a
sure.
conversation.
Sure.
Yes. Still competition for those types of businesses.
So it's not as gloom and doom as people may anticipate. I mean, there's still some hope. There's
mm-hmm.
still leases. There's still some things. We haven't seen a major decrease in profits or anything else and everything else.
No.
But we got to close it, and we're going to have you back, of course. But for those people who, whether it be a business, an agency, or a person
mm-hmm.
who is still needing help because of this BRAC move, then who should they be contacting? Is the Transition Center still open?
Yes, the Transition Center will be open through December 2012. And still active and in a mode of supporting. So workers can still come in and receive the services.
And people can find you and reach you how?
On the website, www.BRACArlingtonVA.us.
And then also, too, they can possibly call or...
Yes,
703-418-1130. And somebody will explain all the services to
Absolutely.
Them. Outstanding. Thank you so much, Dr. Morris, for coming on Fed Access.
Thank you.
We'll get another update in a few months and find out what's going on after this deadline date happens.
And
then,
be interesting.
And then we'll kind of find out what's happening next going into 2012.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFPD, your source for federal news now.